Track 9, More News. Schools bid to keep outdoor space. A Tunbridge school for children with complex needs has submitted an application to retain its outdoor learning space amid concerns over flooding. Rated outstanding by Ofsted, the Greater Horseshoe School, which is based at Heathfield, has long used land at Chipley Mill, Bickington, for outdoor learning, despite not having official permission to do so. In November 2025, Tunbridge Council decided the risk of floods at the low-lying site meant it could not allow the unauthorised use to continue. Members of the planning committee heard that the site was a high-risk flood zone, which posed a potential risk to life. The school was given 6 months to submit a formal planning application or face having one of its two satellite facilities dismantled. And the school have submitted an application. They're seeking to retain permission for the site for its present use, and this includes a flood risk assessment and associated modelling, which includes accurate and up-to-date analysis, the planning, design and access statement says in the application. Tunbridge Council are due to make a decision by August 26. The planning, design and access statement continues to say, the site is a key part of the Greater Horseshoe School, providing an off-school learning environment, including areas for recreation, horticulture, livestock, bushcraft, orchards, restorative gardens, wildlife areas, construction and farm produce and crafts. The engagement of pupils with this element of the school provides diverse opportunities, including explorative, nurturing, practical activities that can help release the feel-good hormones, helping to relieve stress, rebuild neurological pathways, and enabling students to engage with learning. Flanked by the River Lemon to the north and the A383 to the south, the Chipley Mill site has been used by the school since 2018. It is largely undeveloped and comprises open grassland with some buildings.
Road deaths at record low across Devon and Cornwall. The number of people killed or seriously injured on Devon and Cornwall's roads has dropped to the lowest ever level in recent reporting history, new figures reveal. Provisional figures from the Department for Transport show that in 2025, 49 people were killed and 495 seriously injured in collisions in Devon and Cornwall. This is the lowest number since modern recording systems were introduced, and almost 20% lower than the figure for 2024. The provisional data also shows the number of collisions in the region have decreased every year since 2022, which was post-COVID, demonstrating a significant reduction. Serious injuries include things such as head injuries, broken bones, loss of limbs, or cuts or lacerations. The release of the figures coincide with the fifth anniversary of the Vision Zero Southwest Road Safety Partnership, a collaboration between 17 organisations across the region, including Devon and Cornwall Police, Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service, Cornwall Fire and Rescue Service, Southwest Ambulance Service Trusts, local authorities, NHS Trusts, Air Ambulance Charities, the National Highways and the Police Office of the Police and Crime Commissioner. The partnership has committed to reducing fatal and serious collisions by 50% by 2030, and these latest figures suggest this target is within reach. Police and Crime Commissioner for Devon and Cornwall and Isles of Scilly, Alison Hernandez, is chair of Vision Zero Southwest. She said, "Our collective efforts as partners and communities to ensure road users are at their best are starting to make a real difference to people's lives. While we are obviously delighted to see a significant decrease in the number of people being killed or injured, there is still a lot of work to do. We must never forget that these numbers represent. These are real people killed in tragic and traumatic services. Loved ones from family members, parents, children, brothers, sisters and friends." She added, "We have worked tirelessly towards reducing these figures. This has involved embracing innovation and technology, being bold and trying new things, being relentless with our safety messages and campaigns, and investing in things we know will make a difference."
Council adopts bold local plan. Councillors have approved the Teignbridge Local Plan, which sets out planning policy and allocates land for development across Teignbridge until 2040. Members formally adopted the plan at the Council's annual meeting. Only a third of local authorities across the country have an up-to-date local plan, and the Council says its adoption represents a major achievement. With the plan now in place, Teignbridge is well placed to take a proactive, plan-led approach to growth, meeting the social, economic and environmental needs of the district. This will lead to the development of new homes for local people, new opportunities for businesses and job growth, and new infrastructure. The adoption provides stability for development at a time when local government reform and higher housing targets are creating uncertainty. It has been under preparation since 2018 and has involved seven rounds of public consultation, working with local members, town and parish councils, community groups, developers, statutory bodies and neighbouring authorities. Under the local plan, Teignbridge's housing need requirement will be set at 720 homes per year for 5 years. Without the plan in place, Teignbridge's housing requirement would have been determined by the standard method formula, currently requiring 1,088 homes per year. The plan requires 20 to 30% of new housing to be allocated as affordable homes, with a large amount at social rent. Dawlish councillor Rosie Dawson has welcomed the adoption, which she pointed out does not include any more housing sites in Dawlish. She said, as Dawlish councillors, we challenged hard to get potential sites removed because our population has grown so much that we need years to build on our current community spirit, to push for infrastructure catch-up and to preserve our identity. The plan also includes a range of environmental measures.
Museum celebrates 30 years since Wembley win. Volunteers at Dawlish Museum are gearing up for this season's opening, which will feature the 30th anniversary of Dawlish footballers winning at Wembley. Despite the building being covered in scaffolding, the museum will be open as usual from June the 3rd. New for this year is a feature celebrating 30 years since Dawlish footballers of Dawlish Town Sports and Social Club made it all the way to Wembley when they reached the final of the Carlsberg Pub Cup for that season. The nail-biting game was on May the 12th, 1996. At full time, the teams were drawing 0-0, and Dawlish eventually won 4-2 on penalties. The Crystal Glass Winners' Trophy takes pride of place in the museum exhibit, as does the strip they wore on the day. The final was covered extensively at the time in the Dawlish Gazette. Museum staff are keen to identify members of the winning team featured in the photos. This year, the museum continues its feature on much-loved shops of Dawlish and Dawlish Warren, past and present. Many residents will remember Woolworths, Hinton's and the World Stores, and long-standing businesses that are still thriving, including Gay's Creamery, now more than 100 years old. There is also a statue to the couple of Dawlish stalwarts, including Dr. Perkin, covering his time helping in prisoner of war camps in World War II before becoming a GP in Dawlish. Sylvia Tall, who organised the Carey Singers and was a leading light in Dawlish Operatic Society, also features. The usual displays are updated, and the storm room, recounting the devastating 2014 storm, continues to be of great interest, along with Piper Bill Millen, the town's D-Day hero. For children, there is a signet trail and dressing up. The museum opens Wednesdays to Fridays from 11 o'clock to 3 p.m. and Saturdays 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. As it receives no government funding, there is a small entry fee of £2 for adults, £1 for children and senior citizens, and £5 for a family of four.